Communication is a common word, and it comes from a Latin word, and guess what the Latin word means? Common. It means common, because communication is about the commonality that we have in order to communicate. There must be a commonality as humans for allowing us to communicate. Now, there are various languages in the world, and despite there being so many languages that are so different, by translation, we can still communicate. And the reason is not because there are just so many languages and that they're sort of similar. They're very dissimilar. But it's because there's something common about it. They are human languages. They are human languages. They are possible for humans to learn to speak from the time they're little children, and therefore they're able to be translated. It's a common ground of communication. And the text that we're looking at is partially, it's the last part of Ephesians, but it's partially still talking about spiritual warfare, but it leads right into this thing about communication. And I've entitled this Holy Communication because that's what it's really about. Holy communication. And it can sort of be summed up, what Paul is saying here can sort of be summed up with the phrase Christian faith and love, which is what he's been talking about all through Ephesians. Christian faith and love must be expressed by holy communication. It has to happen. It's part of our Christian understanding of the Christian life, an understanding of our faith and our love as Christians. And there's many pieces of armor that's been talked about in the spiritual warfare that Paul's talked about in this particular passage. But there's only two weapons, and one was the Spirit of God, or the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and that was the one we talked about last week. And then there's prayer, and that's what Paul finishes on, but he talks a lot about prayer, not just a short mention of it. He talks a lot. He used three verses to talk about that. And prayer is the foundation of Christian communication. It's the founding basis. It's the whole foundation of Christian communication. And prayer is our first communication that we have with God. Praying the sinner's prayer. You know, if you haven't done that, you need to. You need to pray that first prayer. That is the first prayer that every person really makes, is the sinner's prayer. Now, they may have made other prayers, but the first prayer that is in the communicating, where God's really, really wanting you to get on his relationship level, is the prayer of repentance to become a Christian. So, that's our first communication with God, is prayer. And then, prayer is part of our creation. You know, we were made to commune with God in prayer. You think about all the other features of creation. When God created, he said, let there be this. Let there be that. Let there be this. And it was. And it was. And it was. Animals and plants and beautiful sunsets and all of that. Let there be. But when it came to the creation of man, he said, not let there be man. No, it was, let us personally make man in our image. We are the image bearers of God. There is no other creation like us. We are the image bearers of God. And because of that, we have a level. It's almost like a built-in reflex. It's like a built-in reflex. We automatically think about prayer. All throughout the entire world, it doesn't matter if religions, different kinds of religions, don't teach that we are made in God's image. The reflex is still there because we are made in his image. Many religions have a concept that we are just another part of nature. No, we're different. We're not just like the animals. Most older animistic or pantheistic religions have this concept that we are just one big part of nature and it's all one thing. But no, there's a difference with humanity. And that's what prayer is all about. And even those who don't teach the foundation, they still pray. Why? It's a built-in reflex. Because they were created in the image of God. And prayer assumes something about God. It assumes that God is love. Otherwise, why pray? Why communicate? Communication is part of love. If you don't have love, your communication is going to be very, very poor with people around you. But if you love, you will want to share. You will want to share your thoughts with others. And it's part of good relationships, is communication. And it's interesting that it's the us in let us make man in our image that really speaks to this idea of love being eternal. Because you see, God is love, and love is eternal. And it was us. There was a love relationship going on with the triune God throughout eternity. Otherwise, love would have been a new invention. Love has been eternal. God is love. Well, Paul has made great emphasis here. He said, in these three verses, he's mentioned prayer three times, and the word prayer three times in these 53 verses. So he's got great emphasis here. And what are some of his emphases? Well, first of all, he's talking about spiritual battle. So spiritual battle requires that the soldier be in communication with the commander. And it's interesting that way back in ancient times, there was this advanced technology that has never been outdone by any technology today of an indestructible walkie-talkie system with dots. It just will not stop. This walkie-talkie system doesn't need batteries. Batteries won't go dead. The communication system won't break down. There are certain things that do hinder prayer. But there's always a way we can get the walkie-talkie fixed again real quick by repentance and getting things straightened out so that we have a communication level with God. So keeping in a battle, we have to be in communication with the commanding officer, God. And then Paul spends time about prayer on the weapon of prayer as an offensive weapon. If it's an offensive weapon, how do we use prayer? Well, he says, in the Spirit, that supernatural praying, guided by the Spirit, directed by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, fashioned by the Spirit. Some people say that speaking in tongues or groaning in the Spirit is a way that the Spirit actually just sort of takes over and lets you communicate directly to God, bypassing your own mind. But in the Spirit, praying, guided, enabled by the Holy Spirit. Then, on all occasions, it's interesting, some people say, well, prayer shouldn't be in this or that. It should only be in the context of the church or what. There is no secular ground with God. All ground in the kingdom of God is holy ground. So anywhere you go, it's not secular, it's all holy ground. And we should be able to pray on all occasions. And then all kinds of prayers and requests. Paul again mentions this in Timothy when he's talking to Timothy about keeping his people praying. He says, I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. You know, there are eight different Greek words in the New Testament for prayer. There's different kinds of prayer. And we sometimes get this idea of prayer is just one thing, how I do it. But listen to what John MacArthur says, and he's talking about this. He says, we are to be involved in all kinds of prayer, every form of prayer that is appropriate. We may pray publicly or privately, in loud cries, in soft whispers, or silently, deliberately, or planned, or spontaneous, while sitting, while standing, kneeling, or even lying down, at home or in church, while working, while traveling, with your hands folded or your hands raised, with your eyes open and closed, or with your head bowed, or with it erect. And prayer is all kinds of ways, but Paul urges that you do all kinds of prayers. He wants all kinds of prayers. Why? Because it is a very versatile weapon. It is a very versatile weapon. He also says, be alert. Be alert. Soldiers must always be ready for a potential attack of the enemy. Jesus repeats this. And remember what Paul said. He said, you're putting on this armor, you're using these weapons so that you will be able to stand, not to fall. Listen to what Jesus says. Watch In other words, be alert. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation, that you'll still be standing after temptations come and pass. Always keep praying, he says here. Again, in Thessalonians, he says, pray without ceasing. Now, that's a hard one. You say, pray without ceasing, but it is a worthy, it is a needed goal. It is a needed goal that Christians have. The Greek Orthodox people, way ages back, way in the 300s, were teaching on this idea of praying without ceasing, and so they said, well, how do we do this? And they studied on how to do it, and they thought that probably the best way is to pray a simple prayer and keep on praying it. And so it became what they called the prayer of the heart. They prayed it so much that it became a part of their, it just went on praying all the time, and that prayer was, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. They thought it was the perfect prayer. You're calling on the Lord. He's Jesus the Savior. He's Christ the Messiah, anointed with the Holy Spirit and able to anoint others. So, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy. I need your grace. How? Every single thing, relationship, healing of my body, provision for my financial needs, relational problems, or whatever it is. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy. Perfect prayer, they thought. They would pray it over and over and over until finally it would descend from their mind down into their heart. And whenever they had a quiet moment, all they had to do was think within, and they would hear, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. So that in their dreams they were praying it. Quite a goal to have. I don't know if that is the way to do praying without ceasing, but to always remember, as Brother Lawrence said in his Practicing the Presence of God, that we are continually in God's presence. Never are we out of His presence. We are in His presence so we can always be attentive to Him no matter what we're doing, even in our dreams. So the Jesus Prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. You may want to do that. And you know, I've often gone to, when I visited the sick, and said, you know, it's hard to pray a long prayer, but try this prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. It's a short one, and pray it often. And if you can't do that, just say, Jesus. Jesus. And He knows. It's a wonderful short prayer, one word. Jesus is calling on His name. And then, for all the saints. Pray for all the saints. There's a reason why it's called Sweet Hour of Prayer. And I tell you what, spending an hour just in prayer, it's a long time. But if you have the right kind of prayer list for all the saints, the time goes by real quick to try to get through praying for all the saints. How many saints are there? All of them? Why, there's missionaries, there's churches that are struggling around the world. We read Church Around the World, that little sheet that comes out. We say, my goodness, things are happening in the world that we don't even see in the newspapers. We need to be in touch with missionary letters and other churches and what's happening in this church in town. There needs to be a networking. You know, we need to pray for one another. And a sweet hour of prayer means we've gone through the whole list and had a good list. Well, then Paul gets down here where he says, pray for me. Now, he was a minister, and he was asking for special prayer. And I think that there is a special prayer needed for ministers. I request that you listen to Paul's words here and you pray for me that way. And what is it that he asks? That whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me. That whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me. I want that to be the case. Preachers have a trouble with their mouth sometimes. They open it sometimes when they ought not to, and then again, they don't open it when they should. And Paul says this again. He says, pray that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Pray that I will make known fearlessly, boldly, with courage. And you know, he asks this two times. He repeats himself in another way. In the next sentence, he says again, pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Boldness. God wants to give to preachers and ministers of the gospel the boldness that the prophets had in the Old Testament, where they were not getting any kudos, they weren't getting any blessings from the society around them. In fact, they were getting persecuted, and yet they boldly stepped up to kings on their thrones and said, "This is what the Lord says, you guys are in trouble." You know, when it might mean, and sometimes it did. So pray that I may declare it boldly. If prayer is the foundation, then, of Christian communication, the next point is that the church is the family of Christian communication. Just as we connect to God in prayer, we connect with one another in fellowship. And that fellowship is a part of the creed that we repeat again and again in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, that word koinonia, fellowship, the communion of saints. Our common ground as Christians, our communication, commonality as Christians, is the new birth that was given to us by the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit, we often do that benediction, and I do it a lot. It's from 2 Corinthians 13:14. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. It is that fellowship of the Holy Spirit that makes us have fellowship. We have that fellowship in the Holy Spirit. And then we are to be one church, one holy apostolic church, as the Nicene Creed goes, or holy church, holy Catholic church, as the Apostles' Creed. It means universal. Catholic means universal. They're just one. It's everywhere. Now, God does use denominations. And how does he use them? Well, if we are the church militus, we are the army of God. We're not yet in the church triumphant in heaven. We are still the church that's in battle. We're still the church militant. That's what the church is called on the earth, the church militant. It's like the U.S. military. The U.S. military is divided and separated for organizational purposes and deployment. It's separated into Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, and whatever else. And it is, it, even though it is separated, it is one military, the U.S. military. It is one. When God sent Israel into the land of Canaan to possess and divide up, they were to be divided as tribes to different locations, but they were still to be one nation, Israel. In this whole thing about us being one, God uses denominations to deploy his military and to organize and to give direction to his military. But for us, there is no excuse for friendly fire. There is no excuse. It's not really called friendly fire. It's called sin. When we demean one another because of different denominational ideas and so on. That is totally against God's plan and purpose. It's sin. It's not friendly fire. And then the communion of saints. I believe in the communion of saints. It's a concept that needs to be put into practice by communication. By communication. Paul was sending a letter that lasted. This is the Ephesian letter. It has lasted. But he also was sending Tychicus with the letter. He was sending Tychicus to tell some personal news that he had. Now, you know something? The news that he had about Paul and his friends there and everything in Rome, and the church in Rome was communicating with the church in Ephesus, is not important today. The letter still is important. But what for us about personal news that's important? It's for us to communicate with the body of Christ. The Christian across the hall from us. The Christian the churches that are in this community. The churches that are in our country. What's happening with our nation as a nation of churches. And what's happening around the world. That is important news for us. And we need to keep in touch with the body of Christ because why? We are one church, holy and Catholic. Christian communication is also this goal of our Christian fellowship is this communication, and one of the goals in that is to bless and encourage. In fact, this is what he said when Paul sent Tychicus, he sent him to bless them, not just to communicate, but to say that he may encourage you. Christian communication is supposed to be a blessing. It is to bless one another. And this leads to this last point. What is the focus? The focus of Christian communication? Well, the effect should always be to bless, to give a benediction. And I'm going to read this again because it's such a good benediction. Peace to the brothers. And you've got to remember, when Paul said brothers or brethren, he was envisioning the sisters as well. He always spoke that way. Because why? Well, we're all adopted sons of God. Male or female, we are all sons of God. We are all priests. Male, there are no priestesses. We are all priests within the kingdom of God. So, brethren or brethren, peace to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted us to communicate that way, to be a blessing. Wouldn't it be one if we could just say that to each other? Peace be with you. Peace be, shalom, you know? Christians need to revive the older habits of blessed speech. Speech that gives a blessing. Back in Ruth 2:4 is a favorite expression that I see sometimes. This was in their culture. This is what they did in that day. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvester. The Lord be with you. The Lord bless you, they called that. So, let's practice that. The Lord be with you.
The Lord be with you.
Well, the Lord bless you is the answer. So, wouldn't it be nice if that was our way of, in our culture, talking, the Lord be with you? And the answer was, the Lord bless you. Wouldn't that be a nice habit to develop? We need to recreate some things as Christians. We can do it. After all, that's like, how you doing? Where'd that come from? How are you doing? Well, where does goodbye come from? It's a diminutive of God be with you. God be with you. Goodbye. But anyway, it's interesting that there are things in our culture that we need to revive that are a blessing. When people say, God bless you. Well, that's good. But we need more than that. Let's as Christians start doing that. Ruth 2:4. I used to put it on whenever I wrote a letter. I put Ruth 2:4. And they'd say, what's that about? They'd look it up. The Lord be with you. The Lord bless you. Okay. Maybe I'll try you. I'll try that on you for a little while. And then we also communicate a blessing when we encourage those that hear us, when we encourage them to be faithful to the Lord. That's a blessing. To encourage people in their Christian walk. Paul ends with this. In verse 24, he says, grace to all. But he qualifies it. And there must be a qualification. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. With a love that doesn't quit. Oh, well, that qualifies the benediction. That qualifies it. It means I need to love Jesus, and I need to love him forever. I need to love him without stopping. It should never end. And each of us must choose, you see. This benediction is an idea that we each must choose to and keep on choosing God's will. And God's way. And that's a good way to end, as Paul ends here. Christian faith and love must be expressed by holy communication. And as he ends this is my also ending of the exposition of Ephesians. Ephesians is about the church's present ministry and future destiny. But that future destiny depends on our participation right now. Our decision to align our will with God's will and keep it that way with an undying love, with an undying commitment, with an undying faithfulness by submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. If you haven't done that, you need to do that and pray that prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's where that came from. And ask Jesus into your heart. And then to live for Jesus all of our days. That's our choice, to be a part of this wonderful destiny that the book of Ephesians talked about. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this wonderful, wonderful letter that Paul wrote while he was in prison in Rome. And yet, during that time while he was in prison, he prayed that he would be bold to continue to preach the gospel. Lord, many people of our brothers and sisters, I'm sure, take encouragement from that today. They are in prison. They are behind bars because of their faith. And they think about Paul being behind bars, praying for encouragement. Lord, none of us are behind bars. We're free. Lord, we have inhibitions about sharing. And I pray, Father God, we would be people who are given over to holy communication. Not just with you in prayer, not just with our brothers and sisters, but with those who do not yet know you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.